Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. I'm so used to saying good Vach. Move things over so it could be a little bit earlier. I might say Shabbos Kodesh is getting a little bit late, so we decided to have an Erev Shabbos Kodesh and prepare for Shabbos. Also a very precious time, also a very special time. I want to just dedicate all our Torah tonight, all the Chizik, all the Zoris, Lulinishmais, my Alta Babi, my great-grandmother, whose Yahrzeit is tonight, Leah Bas Mordechai, Grandma Lillian, who is a very big tzaddikas, a very special person. In our family, we speak all the time about how she was a beautician. She used to do the makeup, do the hair of various women. Women would come to our home. She had in her own home a room. And she would often also go to various old age homes and do the makeup and do the hair of some of the people in these homes. And my grandfather used to tell us all the time, he would ask her, why do you go? Some of them don't even know what was going on so much when it's fully there. Why do you go all the time? And she would do this all the time. Why would you go all the time? To beautify them. And she said very simply, because I believe it makes them feel good. It's such a deep lesson, such a simple, pashut lesson. But if we could all just do for others, and think about what we can do to make other people feel good. It's really such a beautiful way of life. So Mirat Hashem, all the Torah, all the Chizik, should be a big schus for her neshama. She should continue to be a me'alitza yoisha for our beautiful family until we're zaycheh to be together, b'karov, t'chis ha-meisim, t'gul ha-shleim, v'mehir v'meinah. There's a well-known story, very simple story, that occurred every single Matzei Pesach. How Matzei Pesach, Matzei Yantiv, Rav Levi Yitzchak Barditchev, the Barditchev Rebbe, Zeche Tzadikai Shevracha, he would stay up all night. He wouldn't be able to sleep, mamish, for even a moment, because he was so excited to be able to put on tefillin in the morning. You see, us men, most have the minhag throughout Pesach, including Chol HaMoed, not to put on tefillin. So for an entire week, he didn't put on tefillin. And he was so excited for that mitzvah, he had such passion for the mitzvah, he literally couldn't sleep for a minute. And on one level, it's a beautiful lesson, the passion we should have for mitzvahs. It's a beautiful lesson in the chashivas of the mitzvah of tefillin. Even for you to understand one day in your husband and in your sons, b'shat ha'eva. This year I was thinking about another lesson we could learn from this. See, Matzei Yantiv, for most of us, let's be real, it's a little bit of a depressing time. And not just because some of you might have been going on a plane the next day back from Florida or Arizona or wherever it was. We're beyond that already, Baruch Hashem. And Yantiv is Kodesh Kedoshim. Yantiv is very special. Yantiv is so special, we look forward to it for a very, very long time. We prepare in so many ways, Begashmis and Baruchis. And even though it's a whole week long, it feels like Keheret Ayin, like the blink of an eye, right? Nobody was excited last Matzei Shabbos, Matzei Yantiv. Nobody looked forward to this week. After looking forward to Pesach for so long, looking forward to Lel Seder and Chol HaMoed and Shvi Shel Pesach. And then it's all over. Matzah and Yayin and Mar, it's all over. But the Berditchever gives us a new perspective. So Berditchever Matzei Yantiv wasn't mourning the Pesach that ended, but was looking forward to the opportunity of another mitzvah. He was understanding what it means to live in the moment. And that us as Yidin Baruch Hashem have opportunity for mitzvahs, opportunity to get close to Hashem, opportunity to make every single day of our life meaningful. Yes, there are times that are a little bit different. There are Yom Tovim, there are Moadim, that elevate our days, elevate our weeks. But the avodah of a Yid is to find the beauty and meaning in every single day. Every day we have the opportunity to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every day we have the opportunity to have midos tovos. We have the opportunity to help each other, to do good deeds. Maisim toivim. And we have to be excited for that as well. The truth is, we have gone into a special time as well. Because as we leave the days of Pesach, we immediately enter into the days of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer are not just days that we have to ensure that we count that night, that day is counted. Yeah, I'm sure definitely when we're younger, you know, it was a big thing to go around. You know, are you still in? Are you still in? Well, everybody's still in. Whether you still can make a bracha or not make a bracha, whether women should be making brachas all the time is all the halachic discussion. I'm not going to go into that right now. But whether you still can make a bracha or not is a question. Okay, if you missed a full night and day, we know you no longer can count with a bracha. That doesn't mean you shouldn't count, by the way. Everybody should count every single day of Sfiras HaOmer. Even if you missed an entire day, there's still a mitzvah according to most to count. But is it really all about the counting? That's what these days are. It's like we focus so much on the counting. Sometimes we focus too much on the counting and we miss the boat. There's a mashal I think about all the time this time in the year. I may have shared it with some of you before. There was a man, very wealthy man, he was single. And he wanted to go away on a very special vacation. And he heard about this beautiful island. And he bought a ticket. And he took out the nicest suite in the most expensive hotel. Exquisite. He goes, and it was the most beautiful island he's ever seen. White sand, gorgeous tropical fish. The hotel was exquisite. Delicacies at every meal. And one night he's sleeping, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, he's woken up, screaming, yelling, puts on, you know, one of the plush robes that's hanging in the bathroom, goes into the hallway, sees some people, he sees one of the workers of the hotel, and he said, "Don't worry, you can go back to sleep. There was a fire a few hotels down, but thank God, on our island, the drummers have drummed their drums, and everything's okay." Sounded strange, he didn't know exactly what this meant. Drummers drum their drums. Okay. Takes it for what it's worth. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. He doesn't want to figure it out. He just wants to go back to sleep. He goes back to sleep. He enjoys the next couple days on the island. The last day, he realizes, you know, he had this whole chevra that lived on his block. Whenever any of them would go on vacation, they'd bring everybody gifts, souvenirs. So he wants to bring everybody a souvenir. He's thinking, what can he bring everybody? Something special from this island. So he decided, he realized, you know, he thought to himself, he never clarified, he thought to himself, this island must have magic drums. And the drummers drummed their drums, and the fire was put out. They have magic drums that put out fire. He's going to get these drums for all of his friends. So he goes into the local music store, says, "Do you have the drums that help put out the fire?" He says, "Of course we do." And the guy takes him and shows him these little bongos. You know, you can imagine like in Christmas and the Shuk and Eretz Yisrael that we all, when we were younger, brought home as a, you know, we were all excited. Maybe we got to paint it a little bit something. And he brings home for all of his friends these drums. And a few weeks after he's home, he invites all his friends over for a barbecue and he's telling them all about how incredible this trip was. And he presents them all with these drums. And he says, "These drums are not just drums. These are magic drums. I was there. And one night I'm woken up and there's this fire. It's raging in a hotel. And they drum their drums and it was all put out. And we could do the same if we have a fire." About a month later, one of his friends is frying up some schnitzel. And somehow, things got out of control And mamish, the whole house starts, the whole kitchen starts to go on fire. And they all run out, the guy runs outside, starts screaming and yelling. So instead of calling the fire department, it's time to try the magic, right? So the guys all get together and they start banging their drums. And as they're banging the drums, the fire just rages. larger and larger, engulfing the entire house. So they say, we must not be banging hard enough. If they're banging harder and it's burning down the first house and catching to the second house, maybe we have to bang more together, and they get into a drum circle. And as the next house catches on fire, and finally, the fire goes out after it burns down the entire block. And has nothing left to catch to. And his friends are screaming and yelling at him. He told us these are magic drums. He burned down our whole block. What's the deal? He decides he has to go and fly back to the island. He's going to sue this owner of this music store who sold him these drums. And he goes into the music store. He starts screaming, yelling, what did you sell me? You sold me drums. You told me these were the drums that helped put out the fire. You burnt down my entire block. The guy looks at him and says, you fool. You asked me for the drums that helped put out a fire. You see, us on this island, we have an incredible fire brigade. Incredible fire department. But they're volunteers. And how do they know when there's a fire? We all have drums, and we drum the drum, and the drum is the symbol to tell the firemen that there's a fire. They hear the drum, and they know that there's a fire, and they come to put out the fire. That's all that the drum is. I never said these are magic drums. You asked me for the drums to help put out the fire. That's the bell that rings to tell the firemen to put out the fire. You know, Chevra, sometimes in life it's the same with us. You think it's all about counting Sfiras Omer? You think it's all about just night one, night two, night three, Hayom Yom, Tisha Yamim, Shem Shvu Azar, Shnei Yamim, Lomar? You think that's what it's all about? Am I still in? Did I get to 49? I'm finally waiting for that 1 year. I can count all 49. So you drummed 49 drums? Big deal. You think that's what it's all about? That's drumming the drum. Which is important, which is necessary. But it's only a trigger, it's only a symbol, it's only a reminder to how precious these days are. To wake us up, it's our wake-up call. For what? What are these days them for? What is it all about? It's not just about counting numbers. So I want to share with you the most incredible Torah. That if you've never heard this idea, it'll rock your world about Shavuos. It'll clarify for each and every one of us what these days are all about. So you're all sitting here, and I asked you, how many days do you count Sfiras Omer? It's not a trick question. How many days do we count? What do you count? Anybody? Nobody wants to try it? Okay, 49, right? This wasn't a trick. I wasn't getting you in this one. Don't worry. You're like, I should have said that, right? You all were thinking it. 49 days of Sfiras Omer. And then Shavuos is on day 50, right? That's what we're going to do this year. We started counting Matzei Shabbos of Pesach, the second night of Pesach, night one. And we're going to count up to 49, and the 50th day will be Shavuos on Matzei Shabbos Kodesh. So Shavuos, it's going to be a 3-day Yantav. Right? Good. So it has to be, and by the way, let's remember, by the way, here we have 2 days Yantav, that's right, Yom Tov Sheni Shogolias. Let's take our Yitzrol. Our Yitzrol is 1 day Yantav, that's it. I mean, they'll have a 2-day Shabbos into Sunday this year, but Sunday, 1 day Shavuos. And you've all been taught your entire lives. You've all been taught your entire lives that what happened on that day? What happened on Shavuos? Kabbalah is a Torah, right? We received the Torah. Anyone think differently? That's what we've all been taught. That's the day of Kabbalah Torah. We stay up all night learning Torah. We read the Aseret Dibros in the morning, right? Good. I'm going to prove to you right now, very simply, you just have to follow a little bit of math, that we're off. We're completely off. You're going to have to trust me on two Gemaras. You can look them up if you'd like. Now the Gemara tells us, it's a little bit of a machlokes, but the way we paskin based on the Seder Olam Rabbah, the Gemara and Shabbos,
Daf Pei Zayin, if I'm not mistaken, that says we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday.
We left Mitzrayim on a Thursday. That's how we passed it. We left Mitzrayim on a Thursday. Meaning, Tesvav Nisan, the year we left Mitzrayim, was on Thursday. Good? When do we start counting Sfiras Omer? We just did.
We didn't start the first night, right? First Seder, did you count Sfiras Omer? Nobody counted Sfiras Omer the first Seder.
We start counting the second night. Second day, second night.
Sefer Chinuch talks about this. We want to have one day that's completely dedicated to Pesach. And then we could start looking forward to Shavuos, and then we could start talking about the excitement, anticipation for the whole story, even though Pesach and Shavuos is one long unit.
As the Ramban says very famously in Parshas Emor, and we can't be free just by physical freedom, we need spiritual freedom, we need Torah, or we can't live our lives. We're still slaves to our desires, slaves to society.
So we start counting seconds. So when did we start counting? Let's just take the year that we left Mitzrayim, the year that we received the Torah. So if we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, the first counting of Sfiras Omer, day one of Sfiras Omer was on Friday, Thursday night. Right? Good? So then day 50 should be the day we received the Torah, right?
That's what we learned. That's what we're taught from the time we were in nursery. That's what we all think. So if you ask 99.9% of people, that's what they'll say.
Anyone want to say differently? You're afraid after last time there was nothing wrong. Tell them. So watch. So now tell me. Here's a little bit of math. And think about it clearly. If we left Mitzrayim, let's start counting Sfira on a Friday.
What day of the week would be day 50? If day 1 is a Friday, what day of the week, the year we left Mitzrayim, what day should be day 50, should be that day that we received the Torah? What day of the week? You think Shabbos, right? Because you know something. Let's do math. Let's take a step back. Watch, simple math. We just have to think it through. We get confused with this. But watch this. If day 1 is Friday, what's day 7? Simple. Not a trick question. What's day 7? Of the week. What day of the week is day 7 if day 1 is Friday? Come on, somebody.
Friday.
Really?
Thursday.
Thank you. Well, watch. We'll do it simple. We got to go back. I know. You all skipped calculus. We didn't want to go there. Math is for men. I understand. Watch this. Here we go. Very simple. We'll use our hands, okay? We'll use our hands with this one. Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday is day 7. Right? There are 7 days in a week. So whatever day you start on, the 7th day will be the day before that. Right? It's very simple. We usually start a week on Sunday, so day 7 is Shabbos. If day 1 was Friday, like we're saying the year we left Mitzrayim, day 1 of Sfiras Omer, day 7 would be Thursday. If day 7 would be Thursday, 7 times 7, day 49 would also be Thursday, correct? Good? 7 times 7 is 49. So day 49 is going to be on a Thursday if we left Mitzrayim on Friday. Oh, if we left Mitzrayim on Thursday, I mean we started counting Sfira on Friday. Should have made like a whole oak tag for this one, right? We need like a smart board. But you got me, right? You're all with me? It's not that difficult. Now let me explain it like this, right? So we left Mitzrayim. You good? We left Mitzrayim on Friday. Well, I'm sorry. We left Mitzrayim on Thursday. We start counting Sfira on Friday. Day 49, we just proved, had to be on Thursday, right? Because day 7 is Thursday. If day 49 is Thursday, what was day 50? That's just the day after. No one gets scared, right? 50. Okay, good. We got it. Day 50, the letter year we left Mitzrayim was a Friday. So we were taught day 50 is the day of Kabbalah Satorah, right? We're going to celebrate Shavuos on day 50 of our counting this year. Right? Not a trick. 100%. You know what the problem is?
Look up the Gemara, you're actually right. Kule alma lo plige, everybody agrees. B'Shabbos nitna Torah. The Shabbos was actually given on Friday. On Shabbos. The Torah was actually given on Shabbos.
Everybody agrees the Torah was given a shot, which is so beautiful for another time. To obviously the Torah was given a shot. Let's be real. What other day of the week would the Torah be given? So beautiful. The Torah was given on Shabbos. But according to our calculation that we just went through, which might have taken a little bit of time, Shabbos was day 51, not day 50. Because we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, we started counting Sefirah on a Friday, that makes Friday, again, day 50, because Friday is like day 8, because it's the new week. 50 is the 8th day, because it's after 7 complete weeks, right? So Shabbos, the year we love to try, was day 51, not day 50. We are all celebrating Shavuos on the wrong day. We're celebrating Shavuos day 50, yet the Torah was given on day 51. By the way, it's a schus we have just to be together, just to hear this Torah tonight. It's earth-shattering, but it's the most beautiful thing in the world to learn what we're celebrating Shavuos, because we just proved here that the Torah wasn't given on Shavuos. The Torah was given the next day. Yes, here it's something beautiful. At least we can look at something beautiful. We always look for whatever reason. We all happen to be in Chutz La'aretz, which I don't fully comprehend why, but we look for good things and good reason because we're stuck here. At least here we have a second day of Shavuos. So on the second day is actually the day the Torah was given. Day 2 is actually day 51. But that's not what Shavuos is supposed to be. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't celebrate that day. So we're saying right here, right now, the Torah wasn't given on Shavuos. I mean, it's crazy, right? But we just proved it. You just proved it. Basically, the Gemara says, Seder Olam Rabbah, that we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, that makes Friday day 50, Shabbos day 51, and the Torah was given on day 51. We are off by one on our counting. We're celebrating the wrong day. So you got to feel that a little bit. You have to understand that, because we all grew up our whole life, day 50 is Shavuos. And it is Shavuos. It's still Shavuos. But we all grew up that that's the day the Torah was given. That's what we're celebrating. So what are we celebrating if we didn't even get the Torah yet? Comes Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch. If you want, you should. I don't have it in front of me. I didn't bring, but trust me, and you should open it up and read it. Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch's Pirish is in English. I mean, he wrote it actually in German. So there's no reason to. There is translated into Hebrew, and there's also translated into English. Most Svarim, we try to learn in Hebrew. And the reason we try to learn in Hebrew is because it was written in Hebrew. And you want to learn the Sefer by the way the author wrote it, so it's most authentic. If you're reading and learning a translation, by definition, it's also a commentary. Because a translation is that person's take on whatever they've read, by definition. So that's why we always try to be the most authentic, and you should try the best to learn Svarim in the language they're written. But I don't know, personally, I don't know German. If anyone here knows German, you could learn the Sefer in German. Otherwise, it's just as good to learn in English as it is in Hebrew. And on Parshas Emor and the Psukim that deal with Sefirot HaOmer, he asks this question that we just posed. He does the same calculation. The Minchas Achinuch has this question as well. This is not my question. That we're celebrating the wrong day of Shavuos. We're off a day. We're celebrating a day early. And Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch says something incredible, and will change our old perspective, not just on Shavuos, but change our old perspective on every single day of Sefirot HaOmer. He says, we see from here that the celebration of Shavuos is not a celebration of the reception of the Torah. That happens the next day. And by the way, in our tefillos, we do not even ever refer to it as Yom Matan Torah Seinu, but only Zman Matan Torah Seinu. It's the time period. It's around the time we got the Torah. It's actually the next day. So what are we celebrating? Why are we celebrating a day early then? And what are we celebrating? So Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch explains. He says, we all know famously, when we left Mitzrayim, we were on the 49th level of Tumah. We were the lowest of low. And there's a reason we didn't go out of Mitzrayim and receive the Torah the next day. We weren't ready. We weren't fit. We weren't ready to receive the Torah. Otherwise, we would have. It's one package, as we explained, based on the Ramban. We're not ultimately free until we receive the Torah. So why didn't God give us the Torah the minute after we left Mitzrayim? Because we weren't fit to. We were too low. We were too much full of Tumah. And we needed to work on ourselves. We needed to cleanse ourselves. We needed to fix ourselves. We needed to grow. We needed to grow. 49 days. Every single day, a little bit more, a little bit more. And those are a little bit, those connections that we say after our counting, chesed shebechesed, chesed shebegvur, those are all midas we're supposed to be working on, we're supposed to be growing. And even if you don't understand each and every one, it reminds us to grow, to work on myself, to be a better person. That's what these days are for. That's what these days were for, to prepare for Kabbalah Satorah, by growing, by becoming a better person every single day. You know what happened on day 50, Rav Hirsch explains? On day 50, we became fit to receive the Torah. On day 50, we pulled ourselves out of that 49th level of Tumah to be cleansed, to be pure, to be Kaddosh, to be holy. And we were ready to receive the Torah. We were fit to receive the Torah. And God doesn't actually give us the Torah until the next day. But He says, celebrate Shavuos on that day. You know why? Because He wants us more so to celebrate our growth. We have a yontif to celebrate all that we've done, all that we've become. More important than the reception of the Torah. That's a beautiful gift from Hashem, which we haven't even experienced yet. To really understand and gain the beauty and the Torah of Torah, it's going to take time. We're not going to even understand what it is on day one. So we're not celebrating that we got the Torah. We hardly know the Torah. We actually celebrate a day earlier, and what we're celebrating, and the entire Yom Tov of Shavuos is a celebration of our growth, not a celebration of the reception of the Torah. Proved by the fact that we just proved that it's the day before the reception of the Torah. You know what else makes sense now? You ever think about it? The name of anyone or anything is the essence of the being. We've spoken about this many times over the years. If we understood the beauty in our names, we'd understand our midos, our character traits, our mahos, our essence, all that we have within us. But so too a Yom Tov. It's Pesach, we're not going to go through now, and Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. You ever think about Shavuos? Why do we choose to call it Shavuos? Like, okay, we're all used to that, so we call it Shavuos. But wouldn't there be a more essential name? Like, let's call it Torah or Kabbalah. Sinai, I don't know. What does Shavuos mean? Shavuos are weeks. Shavuos are weeks. Now we understand why it's called Shavuos. Because Shavuos is not a celebration of Kabbalah Satorah, actually. It's a celebration of the 7 weeks of growth. It's a celebration of what we've done during these days of Sefiras HaOmer. That's what these days are for, and that's what Shavuos is going to be a celebration of. Yes, of course, it's also Zman Matan Torah Seinu, and that's the gift of our growth. And that's the cherry on top, and that's part of it. But more important is our growth that earned that Kabbalah. That's the celebration, to prove that Hashem made the Yontif a day earlier, a day when we finished that growth. Although we never finished growing. And therefore, what are the days of Sefirah about? Is it so important that we count? The counting is there as that drumbeat, as that trigger, as that symbol to remind me to grow. To remind me to grow. Have I grown 10 days, 11 days? Have I grown? Is my growth where it should be? And we have to ask ourselves, as we're already close to 2 weeks into this avodah, have we grown? And am I going to be zochet to celebrate Shavuos this year? And it's not necessarily, am I going to stay up all night, or am I going to eat some cheesecake? Am I going to stand Shavuos and look at myself and say, I grew for 49 days. I'm proud of who I've become. I have what to celebrate. That's the Yontif of Shavuos. The Yontif of Shavuos is a celebration of our growth, and the growth therefore needs to go on right now. In whatever way we choose. So the most beautiful remez to this idea, he doesn't say it to this idea, I want to apply it to this idea, but from the Heilige Nesiva Shalom, the Slatim HaRabbi. Slonim Rebbe says in the beautiful words that are so appropriate and connected to these days, because they're the famous Mishnah of Rabbi Akiva. These days are the days of Rabbi Akiva, as we all know. The days that we're in mourning of the 24,000 Talmidim of Akiva. The days when Rabbi Akiva on Lag BaOmer didn't give in to all the defeat, but he stood up and he took 5 new Talmidim. He continued to keep Torah. That's why we have Torah today. And we sing throughout, and we sing specifically later in the count, Amar Rabbi Akiva, the words that you all know so well because it's such a beautiful song, the last mission on you, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael. Praiseworthy are you, Yisrael. Lifnei mi'atem mitaru, mi mitar eschem avichem shabbat shabbat. You all know, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Amar Rabbi Akiva. Such a poetic Mishnah, like had to be made into a song. Because why is Rabbi Akiva so redundant here? Such a superfluous nature to his words. Every word of Torah is precious. We've all learned this. We learn halachos from one letter. Yet here, lifnei mi atem mitar, in front of who do you purify? Who mi mitar esem, and who purifies you? Avichem shem shemayim, your Father in heaven, that's why you're praiseworthy. Just say it once, lifnei mi atem mitar. It's just two sides of the same coin, right? In front of who do you purify, and who purifies you? Why do you have to say both? And we're all used to this because it's a beautiful song, but you ever think about that? Listen to what the Hilchos Lagma Rabbi explains. So beautiful. What's the gematria of me? It's a very simple one, right? We all could do this one. Me, Mem Yud. Mem is 40 and Yud is 10, right? 50. You know, Rabbi Akiva is telling us in a deeper way. Omer Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael, praiseworthy are each and every one of us. Why? You know why? Because lifnei me, before me, means 50. So what's before 50? What's the number before 50? 49. Lifnei me, before me, before 50. On the 49 days of Sviras Omer, atem mitarim, you purify yourself. You work on yourself. You grow. You become a different person. Umi, when you get to the 50th, you get to the 50th, which is Shavuos, Umi, Hashem's going to take you and purify you in the most kaddishic ways. If we put in our effort and grow during these days, then Hashem will then have us celebrate Shavuos and give us Kedusha and give us Shefa and give us Ruchnias and give us a Torah. If Lefnei Miyatim Tara, Umi Mitar Eschem Avichem Shemayim. These are our days to work on ourselves. These are our days to grow. Sometimes growth is scary. Because if I'm really honest with myself, a lot of times in life, I don't even know where to start. If I really look in the mirror, let's be real. Let's talk for myself. I feel like I have to grow in every single area of my life. So when we talk about growth, and specifically this time of the year, which is dedicated to growth, so I want to celebrate as foods, but where do I start? And to fast, merubah, a little faster, right? Like, sometimes you take on way too much, you end up with nothing. So you know, Lel Seder, we spoke about Dalet Bun and 4 sons. Most people think the holiest son is the Chacham, right? The wise son. We equate the wise son with the tzaddik. And I know a lot of our siddurim, the Dalet Banim, different people at the Seder are given to read. Who's going to be chosen to read the Chacham? Who's going to be chosen to read the Rasha? We look at the Chacham, tzaddik, the Rasha. So Rav Nachman, Hilger of Nachman, Zecha Tzadik HaShparacha, Nachum of Breslov has a different take on the Dalet Banim. So the Rasha, of course, is a Rasha. That's clear. The She'enu De'alishol has a lot to work on. Doesn't know to ask questions. Doesn't know how to grow. Lacking confidence. Lacking skills. And even the Chacham, even the wise person, there are good attributes to be wise, but that also sometimes you can be too wise for yourself. And you think you know it all. And sometimes we overthink and overanalyze based on our chachma. Nachman says, you know what the holiest sign at the Seder is? The holiest is the Tam. Tam can be complete and simple. Sometimes we just have to be simple. That's what we see by Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is referred to as Ish Tam Yoshev Olam. Noach Zadik is Tamim Haya B'Dorosav. We see these Lashonos of Tam by Tzadikim. To be simple. What does it mean to be simple? Often we equate simplicity with a lack of wisdom, a lack of meaning, a lack of purpose. Not at all. On what level, I'll tell you. You know, I had this list this morning. Here, one of the most inspiring speeches of my life. From someone I happen to have been close with. I've heard him before. Shimon Felder, Shlita. Shimon Felder is a grandfather to many of my Talmidim. Shimon Felder was close with my own grandparents. We go way back, our families. And he's a Holocaust survivor. Today was Yom HaShoah. He spoke in DRS. Obviously, any time you have an opportunity to hear from a Kaddish that he is, Kaddish Kaddashim, you should take that opportunity. Some of you maybe have grandparents and know friends who have grandparents. Talk to them, learn from them, grow from them, just be with them. Afterwards, I just went over and got a bracha. I've gotten bracha many times from him. He said a few stories that I don't think I'll stop thinking about my entire life. He spoke about how when he was in Amsterdam, in Holland, where he grew up as a little boy, the Milchama began in Holland, as we know, a little bit later, the Nazis got there. Things were getting very bad, and the Nazis finally made their way in, were taking over, and were sending the Jews away to the camps. Shabbos Kodesh in his house. His father was actually gone. His father left to try to figure out what to do. It was just him, his mother, his grandmother, his sister. Shabbos Kodesh. There's a loud knock on the door. His mother opens the door and there are Nazis there with guns. And we all know the scene. And in their harsh way, they start screaming and yelling and telling them they have 15 minutes. You have to gather up all your belongings, whatever little things you want to bring with you, and you're leaving. You're going on the cattle cars. You know what his mother said? Mother looked at these Nazis. The Nazis, Yimach Shimon, with big guns, and she knew already what this meant. And she looked at the Nazis and said, no, we're not going anywhere today. It's Shabbos. We can't go on Shabbos. Come back tomorrow. Imagine. Can you imagine the Gevura? You know what the Nazis did? Would have thought stories that we would never hear such a story because they would have just killed them all out on the spot. Why not? Some of the Nazis respected that in this circumstance, with that one particular Nazi. And was taken aback, but had respect for that emunah. Said, okay, we're coming back tomorrow. And let them stay for Shabbos. Now, where does that come from? That's not normal. There's a tmimus stick. It's the deepest, but it's really so, it's pure emunah that's tam, that's simple. Because if you overthink it, how can you do that? Halacha, I'm not even going to get into the debate. We're not talking, this is not a time for halacha. It's just Tmimus. No, it's Shabbos. I'm not going anywhere. Like, sometimes you just need to be simple. I mean, it's incredible. And then Shimon Felder told us the following. He was on a march, 10 kilometers in the freezing cold, a blizzard, snow a few feet high, and him and his mother and his grandmother and his sister, they were on a death march. People dropping dead left and right. They were on their way to Bergen-Belsen. And at one point, his mother was very tired and weak, and she closed her eyes for a moment. And she opened her eyes, and she didn't know where he went, Shimon. He was like 7 years old at the time. Six, seven, I don't know. And she lost him. Like, she closed her eyes for a few seconds, lost her son in this death march. She's looking all over, she can't find him. Finally, she looks and she sees her son on the side, a few feet away, Shimon, being held in one hand by a Nazi soldier holding a gun to him. And she looks up and davens, Hashem, what do I mean? And then she sees the Nazi, like, just throw him and push him, and he runs back to her. And she says to him, what happened? Where were you, Shimon? I heard this today from Shimon. And he tells his mother, well, we were walking, and I thought I saw in the snow over there, laying in the snow, covered in some of the snow, a sitter. So I had to go pick it up and give it a kiss and take it. And she says, what happened? But the Nazi... She says, yeah, I went, but it was a sitter. And he was holding the sitter. He still was holding the sitter. It said on the front in Dutch, prayer book, it was a sitter. So what happened? What the Nazi... So the Nazi grabbed me and said, what were you doing? And I said, I looked at the Nazi as he held a gun to me, and I said, well, I saw this prayer book. And we as Jews, when there's a prayer book on the floor, we pick up the prayer book and we give it a kiss and we show it honor. And then what happened? The Nazi looked at Shimon, this little 7-year-old boy who just told him this, and said to him, you're a good little boy. Go back to your mother and let me go. There are no words. Only Nisim. And he survived Bergen-Belsen together with his mother and grandmother and sister. Was reunited with his father. And there are many other stories, maybe for another time. And today in DRS, he brought that sitter. And afterwards, I went to get a bracha from him, and I asked, I said, can I... And he had it wrapped in plastic. He has that sitter. He took that sitter. And he had it throughout Bergen-Belsen, throughout his time in the Holocaust, and still has the sitter. It's not small. It's like a bigger sitter. I have a picture on my phone. I can show you. And I asked him if I could daven from that sitter. Because I've never davened from a sitter in my life that holy, that special. And he let me, even though it's Kodesh, he opened it up, and I just opened to the first page. I said Matovu from that sitter. In 42 years in this world, I don't believe I've accomplished 1/100th of what Shimon Felder, the 7-year-old, accomplished in those moments. The Mesiras Nefesh, the Amunah for the Rabbonu Shel Olam that he had. Where does that come from? It's Tmimistik, it's Tam. When we're thought out, when we have Chachma, we're thinking Halacha, this and that, no one does that. I have to be the purity of a 7-year-old boy who's Tam and said, there's a sitter on the floor. I'm picking it up to kiss it and show respect and take it and daven from it. Simplicity. There are no words. We have to be a little more simple in our lives. Just keep Torah mitzvahs. Like, that's it. Simple. Be close to Hashem. Love Hashem. Love each other. Be nice to each other. To everyone we meet. Our family, our friends. Like, simple. Doesn't have to be always so deep and so thought out. Just do. That's definitely one definition of Tam. But there's another definition. There's a Gemara in Brachos, Amar of Chelba, Amar of Huna. Hanichnas l'beis haknesas l'spalel mutter l'asoso kapandaria. Rav Chelbo said, in the name of Huna, if you enter into beis haknesas to daven, once you entered into daven, you're allowed to make it into a shortcut. So generally, the halacha, the Mar Megillah, right? I'm sure many of you have learned this. You're not allowed to walk and use a shul as a shortcut. So if there's one door at one end and one door at another end, you have to get to the other end, you have to go all the way around. You shouldn't walk just through the shul. But if you walk, once you walk into daven, and you daven there, then you can go out the other door and use it as a shortcut. And the Rif has a different text, and he says, not only are you allowed to do this once you daven, it's a mitzvah to do this. Like, it's a good thing to do. So it's one thing to say that you're allowed to do it. Why would it be a mitzvah to use it as a shortcut once you daven in there? It's a little bit strange. What does that mean, right? Usually you're not allowed to use the shul as a shortcut. If you daven in there, you can use it as a shortcut. Not, it would be a mitzvah to use it as a shortcut. Like, what does that mean? Rav Melech Biderman explains, when you walk into the shul to daven, you have a spiritual connection. A connection with Hashem. And if you have a connection with Hashem, you go through a Pesach. You go through each day of Sirus Omer. You go through a daven, a shachris, a mincha. You can't walk in one way and go back the same way. It's a mitzvah to go out a different way. You have to be inspired and you have to be different. You have to have grown. So it's a mitzvah to go out a different door. It means it's a mitzvah to grow from the experience. We're going through Sirus Omer. It can't be, I'm just counting. I have to, every single day, be a different person. I can't go into Svira one door and out the same door. You know what Kapandarya B'Gematria is? Kapandarya is Gematria 445, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought me a special matana. Exactly Gematria, Hatam. The simple one. Kapandarya is Hatam. You want to be simple? Yes, there's a simplicity of a Shimon Felder in the way that we live this life. But you know what it means to be simple? Just grow a little bit. Just work on yourself. Be a little bit more today than I was yesterday. That's it. Not grand plans. Not finishing all of Tanakh or Mamish, the same old Tillim every day. Or, even though Shimon Felder's grandmother, throughout their time in Bergen-Belsen, throughout the time in Kadrishgen, every single day said all of Tillim Baal Peh. Not normal people. But for us, we have to be Tam. Just be Tam. A little bit more. A little bit more every day. A little more growth. Just grow. Be more. You know that Mishnah that we quoted from the last Mishnah in Yuma, Amar Vekiva Shrechem Yisrael, Lifnei Atem Mitar Mi Mitar Eschem Vichem Shem Shemayim. That Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva quotes Psukim to prove this, to say that we are purified for God, and he quotes two different Psukim. One of them, Mikva Yisrael Hashem. Comparing our experience with God as our mikvah, purifying us, right? God's purifying us, He's our mikvah. Another one is the Rakti Lechem Mayim Torah. By the sprinkling of the Paraduma, God sprinkles the water upon us to purify us. But why two psukim? Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik HaShem Racha. He explains so beautifully. The process of mikvah and the process of the purification of the Paraduma were very distinct and different. By a mikvah, as you all know, a mikvah only works if every drop of you are in that mikvah. If there's a drop out of the mikvah doesn't purify. A little pinky's out of the mikvah doesn't work. By the purification of the water of the parduma, it was pumfah keret, it was just the opposite. You didn't need to be splashed by the water and soaked completely. If one pinky was splashed with water, you're pure. So Rambam explains. You know what Rabbi Kiva was teaching us? I want you to purify yourself. And yes, there's a way of purification, a way of lifnei mi, atem etar, you have to purify yourself, of mikvah, of changing completely. But for most of us, Let's be real. It's a fast and merubah to fast. It's a big time. Just be simple. Just like the waters of the paradum. One little area. One little thing. Just work on something. Every single day during these days. To be more today than I was yesterday. That's pshat and why we count up, by the way. You know the famous question, Chinuch talks about this. Right? We know we're all counting, anticipation, teshuvus, which now we understand is not even Kabbalah Torah, but it's a celebration of our growth. And then Zman Matan Torah Seinu. Incredible Torah from Hirsch. It's hard to remember what we spoke about at the beginning after such stories from Shimon Felder, but... But everybody asks the famous question, you've all heard this, you know, why are we counting up and not down? After all, when you were in school, in elementary school, high school, maybe still today, you know, we look at a calendar, 20 days left of school, 19 days left of school. By Chasson and Kalib, shall tell you about each and every one of you. You count down in anticipation, excitement to the Chasson. Suddenly we're counting up. And now we get it. We're not just counting to a day. We're not just counting to Kabbalah's Torah, or even counting to that day that we celebrate our growth. We're actually growing. So if the counting is supposed to trigger growth, the counting is the drumbeat to say, grow, 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 do something. Not just leave it as a drum that will do nothing by itself. So I'm counting up because I'm looking at my growth. I'm one day more, I'm two, I'm three, I'm four, I'm growing. It's incredible. That's what these days should be for us. Big, big days of growth. So Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach. We have a long way still, Spirit Sa'ayimir. It doesn't matter whether you're still counting with a bracha, without a bracha. Just grow. Be able this year to look back on Shavuos and realize, this year I could celebrate Shavuos, because I have what to be proud of. I have what that I've grown in. I have what that I've worked in. I'm tam. I'm simple in my avodas Hashem, but I've simply worked on something. Be'ez Hashem, we should be zoche. Shizoicha to learn from these Kaddish Degiyidin that rebuilt for us. And give over our lives to Kedusha and make the most of every day. And every day should be this day of growth. Then we'll be Zoicha to celebrate that Ku'ula of the Cheiros of Torah. And then Bekarov Be'ez Hashem Mamish, the Gula Shleimo, Mishiach Keinu, and Heir of Yemenah. And we'll have a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. We'll continue again soon.